Hello and welcome to Travels to a Kingdom. It's myself, Kaya Flynn, with you until 7 this evening, and I do hope I find you well. How have you been since we last spoke? It's now the second day of April already and another week of Lent left. Have you kept on to your Lent? I gave up sweets and potatoes, or crisps if you call them that, and still haven't eaten a single sweet. Can't say much about the old potatoes now, but look, we won't talk about it now. But have you kept up to your Lent? Another week of it left, and then we'll get all our Easter eggs, and we'll be all in a chocolate coma soon enough. Sometimes I like to set myself the challenge of it, so I'm kind of proud of myself that I haven't eaten any sweets as of yet. But that might all change as well after tonight when I start thinking about them more. Last week I asked you what was the best place, or where was the best place to watch the sunset, and a few of you had some suggestions. Mike Hennessy got in touch on Facebook and he said Inch Beach. I live about 20k from Inch Beach, and I have to say I also agree with you. It's a beautiful spot. And it's a really nice place to clear your head as well. Shawnee Carroll said Kells Bay, another beautiful spot. And James Flynn said Stradbally, looking over at Brandon Point. And should I shamelessly say, I've never been to Stradbally or Brandon. So that is somewhere I must put on the bucket list as well. Last weekend, I actually went to Bella Beach. It was a lovely, gorgeous day on Sunday last, as you know. And with the extra hour that we have of sunlight, I went back to Bennett. But I didn't watch the sunset there. I walked on the beach to tire myself out. And then I went to Cockleshell Beach to watch the sunset. And it was absolutely amazing. That's Cockleshell Beach in Tralee. So if anyone hasn't been there, I would suggest there. It's a lovely, peaceful place. And I just sat out at the bench and just took in the evening as well and just reflected on the day. So it's a nice way to end the week as well. And another few of you got in touch as well about our interview with Tom Randalls last week. Someone got in touch to say, Tom Randalls is some character. Where do you poke them out? A really entertaining man. He has me in stitches. I don't know how I poked them out, but Tom Randalls was a very kind person and I was absolutely delighted to get to speak to him as well. And thank you for getting in touch. And I was a regular Ballymac listener, so hello to you. Patrick also got in touch last week saying he was enjoying the show. And Charles said that he was enjoying our chat with Tom Randalls and he could listen to us chatting away all night. And he also pointed out that on sunsets, there is a wonderful sunset in Ballybunion. I remember wonderful sunsets there in my childhood. So thank you very much for getting in touch about that, Charles. You can get in touch with us on the usuals on text or WhatsApp. You can go 083 300 3300, or you can email me kflynn@radiokerry.ie at any stage throughout the night. Now, coming up on tonight's show, we head off to camp. We are going to be speaking with Mary Fitzgerald of the Junction Bear, and she is sure to make you smile. But to start off the show tonight, we are going to have a tune from John Kinsler, who was on the show a few weeks ago. And this is his song called The Old Scrapbook.
Sometimes I come in handy when their parents go out at night, and I'm asked to mind the grandkids, separate them when they fight. But they soon get tired of granddad and his tales of long ago, of brave Irish men who took up arms to fight the Saxon foe. Granddad, can't you see we're busy? We're too big for playing tig. Then the youngest said, please put this on, it's George and Peppa Pig. With their Game Boys, phones, Transformers and reality TV, they're so engrossed in all their stuff, they've little time for me. Then at last I pick up courage, saying my line you'll have to toe. So tidy up now all your gadgets, for the bed you'll have to go. The protest time it varies, but I eventually get my way. And soon they're tucked away in bed, their goodnight prayers to say. Then from underneath the covers, just as innocent as could be, please tell us, Gramps, when you were our age, what did you watch on TV? As I sat up on the bedside then, I had to fight the tears, and I hope they'd listen to me as I rolled them back the years. Times were different when I was young, we didn't have TV. But once I went with father, a snowy boxing match to see. We played hurling at the crossroads, from the well we'd quench our thirst. But we'd sooner play the football when the ball it wasn't burst. We played
Head round, there's skittles, hopscotch and marbles on the street. And in summer when the days were long with the blisters on our feet, then the call would come for supper and us kids would race inside. Then kneel down and say the rosary, find the chair our face to hide. Reach up for my scrapbook, for it was my pride and joy. With the pages full of heroes I'd collected as a boy. For our heroes just played football, hurling too for GAA. And they wore their gansy proudly, especially on All Ireland Day. Now the sheets were different colours, if my memory serves me right. And we'd read about their height, their weight and feats into the night. And our minds could see each tackle, every score and every puck. Then we'd place our Gaelic heroes safe inside the old scrapbook. Then I wondered what had happened to that scrapbook on the shelf. And I wondered too how long I had been talking to myself. For the children tucked up warmly were by now all fast asleep. And I wonder too if my childhood tales were secrets I would keep. But I was glad she asked the question, for it brought me back the years to a time I had forgotten, now still holding back the tears. As I quietly left the room, then one last glance for me to see. And I hope that they'd have memories too, and they'd be old like me. As I quietly left the room, then one last glance for me to see. And I hope that they'd have memories too, and they'd be old like me.
And what a wonderful way to start the show this evening. That was John Kinsella's The Old Scrapbook on his new CD, Goodbye to the Maharees, which you can purchase in the Shanachie Centre in Listowel as well. And as I said, John was on with us a couple of weeks ago. Now it's time to get down to business, and it's time where we joined Mary Fitzgerald in camp. I met her in Windy Camp last week and we sat down and spoke about Mary, her life and years gone by. Mary, how long has the Junction Bar been in your family?
Since 1901.
Wow.
Yes, that was the first license as far as we know, anyway. But of course not. I'm only there 62 years. Mm-hmm. I married in here, even though there only lives a couple of hundred yards over the road.
So it caught your eye a couple of years?
Yeah. And it was, I think it was built really because the railway was across the road from us. And there was Tralee and Dingley Railway, and there was a branch line to Castle Gregory. And of course it was a great thing in those days, you know, where people used to travel by train.
And you used to stop off outside the Junction Bar, so?
They used, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, because I couldn't even imagine a railway outside the bar now. Like.
I know. And there was a very narrow road, you know, there. But of course, it was only ponies and cars. You had no traffic like you have today. But then, of course, that closed in, I think it's 53. I might be wrong, but I think it's 53. And, of course, it was taken over then, and the road was widened, and the cars and the buses and the traffic.
Mm. Yeah. And was there many fair days back then?
They used to have fair, a sheep fair, a big sheep fair up in camp. It used to be here at one time. There was a Lord Reventry. He lived up in Behenoch, and he used to have a sheep fair. And they used to have pins down the field there, you know, for the sheep. And then they'd be carried away in the train as well. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't remember that. But I remember the fear, like when I was out over at home, we always had sheep, you know. The men coming in the morning and they're picking up the sheep and been nothing but fair sheep, this and that, you know. Mm-hmm. But it used to be great excitement, you know, always.
Yeah, and the wonderful way of meeting friends and family.
Oh, yes. And then, of course, it changed. Then it went, they used to have it above an upper camp. And we used to have a day off school, the fair day, on account of the traffic, you know. The traffic was coming back then. And we used to have a day off of school, but of course we'd go up to the sheep fair, and they'd have, there'd be people there, you know, with ponies and cars, and they'd have big tea chests of apples, and there'd be another woman there, and she'd have blackjack and bull's eyes and all that.
All those.
Which was a great thing, you know, them days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If we gave them to the children today, they would...
Oh, they'd spit them out. I couldn't stand the smell of them.
I know. And then the people with the houses above around the village, you know, they used to have, they'd have to have something to eat for the people. There was a Mrs. Moore there now, and she used to have the pies, but she'd have a cold beef and tea for the men. And then there was other people. There was Joe Hamash and Mary Ann Fitz, they had a house there near the church, and they'd have the pies, and maybe Barry used to have pies. And there was another woman then, she wasn't living there, but she used to come, Annie Trant, and she used to have the pies as well. But the pies were a great rarity, you know, I think.
Mm-hmm. An absolute treat, so.
Oh, yes, a treat.
And did I see on the paper a few weeks ago that you used to win competitions for some sort of baking?
Well, I won a competition, all right. That was during the fair now as well. But it was, the fairs was finished then when the marts started. But they tried to revive Camp Fair then again. And they both in dailies that time. They used to sell cosin gas, you know, the drums.
Mm-hmm.
And then cosin gas, I suppose, they gave them a drum of gas for a prize, and they had it for brown bread, and I won my drum of gas. I made brown bread. And it did say in the paper that I got a prize for my pies, but I didn't. I didn't enter them for any competition, but at the same time, I did win a prize for, because they eat. I'd make a couple of hundred pies.
Wow.
And they'd be, they'd all disappear.
What was the secret recipe?
Yeah, there wasn't any secret really in it, but I was all my life making them, you know. But I still make them, but now I have my daughter to help me. I couldn't make them on my own, you know, as you can know that I'm old, but I still make, hopefully I'll make them again now in September, mm-hmm. if I'm alive and if I'm able.
Well, you have a wonderful family here who absolutely adore you and say nothing but lovely things, you know. So
oh, that's great. I'm very happy. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy, thank goodness.
Did you have many children?
I had four.
Oh,
three daughters and one son.
Now, Mary, I was told to ask you about the 8th of December. What happened years ago on the 8th of December?
The 8th of December, we would have a turkey fair. Of course, every woman that time, oh, God, it was a bit of a blow, you know, to have a good flock of well-fed turkeys. And, of course, it would make the money for Christmas as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the bar here now, was up closer to the road then. As there was a small bar going up. And there was a big rafter across the bar inside, and they used to hang as stillers off that. They used to weigh the turkeys there. And the men would be there, and they'd have their pint of porter, and there'd be feathers and what else flying, you know. But they would take no notice.
Oh, my goodness.
God, that's changed times.
Definitely. If I saw a feather near my turkey at dinner, I wouldn't be eating the turkey. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes. You should be grateful, you know. And there'd be another turkey bird in maybe behind us, or Neil's. It was Crean's there, it was there then. This is over nearly 40 years ago. There'd be a bird there as well. And they'd be going back in the over to see who had the best prize. There was a story about one man, he sold his turkeys. And he went then to the next buyer, and he was paying a penny more. So fair, he went back again to the man he was after selling his turkeys to. And he said, oh, the man next door was paying a penny more, and he thought he should get it. And the buyer said, if it was the other way around, will you give me the penny? And he said, no.
Were they expensive back then?
Oh, God, I can't. Yes, they weren't. 1 and 6 a pound, I think, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And really, they were. Well, of course, it was a lot of money that time.
Yeah.
I suppose they were as expensive, like, as they more expensive than that now.
Yeah.
You can buy a turkey in the shop now, very cheap, sure. A
couple of euros.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know if you get a farm-fed one, you pay more from all I have. No, I know we have one for Christmas every year. Bernadette gets it from a friend of hers, a farm-fed turkey.
Mm-hmm.
But the money was a lot, you know, that time it would be the price of Christmas, then the women would have it for Christmas.
Yeah, that was a present in itself.
Oh, yes.
And tell me, what was it like here in the Junction Bar or in the summer times when tourists used to come years ago?
Well, now, of course, as you know, there was not much tourists before, but they used to have excursion trains. They used to come out from Tralee and they'd go down to the beach. And they'd come up then, of course, and they'd have a drink, or a cup of tea or something, you know. Mm-hmm. There'd be a lot of people around them days, too.
Mm-hmm. There was no rogues, was there?
No.
No rogues?
Oh, yeah, there was plenty of rogues, that too. Yeah, they always had a little bit of roguery, of course.
And Mary, you're very close here to Derrymore Strand. It's breathtaking, the views you have here.
Oh, sure, it's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Why, so do you mention Derrymore? What about Camp Strand? Camp is a nicer strand. Well, I think it is anyway. And of course, you can drive down and park your car there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Beautiful. I suppose you went for many walks on Camp Strand.
Oh, God, yes. Until very recently now, I used to walk down the road. We have a little road there called Kyle Road, and I'd walk down there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the weather is too bad now, of course, but hopefully again, if the sun will shine.
And what about Easter time here? What was it like?
Easter, of course, well, we used, there was a dance hall down just at the junction there. And we used to have the dance there on the Sunday nights. And of course, Easter Sunday would be big night. But during Lent, we'd have no dance.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go to the church to make the Stations of the Cross. And when we'd be coming down then, we'd stop behind at Batshea's Cross, we used to call it, you know, at the junction where the camp and the Castle Gregory and Dingle Road. And we used to have a dance there. And there was one man working with a farmer, and he was a great whistler. and he used to whistle for us, and we used to dance our polka on the tarred road. And of course, there'd be no cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's 70 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it used to be great. But Easter, then, of course, it would be good. We'd be all delighted and ready for the dance hall again. Then, and this,
polishing the shoes.
Polishing the shoes again for the Easter Sunday. And from that on, then we have the dance again until come Lent again.
Oh, wow. And would you and your friends go down?
Oh, God, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. Well, we had nothing else, really. You know, it was our entertainment, I suppose. There was no televisions or anything like that. Or no phones or anything. You know, it is so different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the dance hall was great.
Yeah, definitely. And have you any stories from there?
Oh, Lord, I suppose I have. I can think of now.
If you can say them.
Yeah, my goodness, we used to have great fun.
And we are speaking with Mary Fitzgerald of Camp. And you can get in touch tonight by texting or WhatsApping 083 300 3300 or emailing kflynn@radiokerry.ie. We'll be back with Mary and more stories after this break. And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom. It's Kaya Flynn with you until 7 this evening. Now, we are speaking with Mary Fitzgerald of Camp, and Mary tells us of how often she would go to the dances when she was younger.
Oh, yes, all the year round. The only time now we wouldn't have a dance if a local person died. And if they were in the house that time, of course, they'd be waked. If there was a person waked in a house, we'd have no dance hall down the road here.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we used to have Castle Gregory as well. We used to go to Castle Gregory. We used to cycle there.
Mm-hmm.
It was only 6 miles, like on a kind of a level road. We'd go to Annascaul as well now for big dances, but we'd nearly have to have a drive there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you'd get a hackney car, and there was no bus or much of him or anything, but we'd go there. But we'd cycle to Castle. Mm-hmm. Come home 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, quite safe.
Yeah.
You know, there was no body van to come out of a car or anything like that. No, it was quite safe.
Mm-hmm. And Mary, today you were up at Castle for, what do you do there every week?
Oh, above in camp we were today. Now in camp we were today on the Thursday. We have a lovely dinner. We have soup first, and then we had lovely roast pork now today and veg. And then we have a nice dessert and a cup of tea and biscuits.
And how many of you go up?
There was a very small crowd now, and a small crowd in camp with a long time. They used to come out from Tralee a few years back, well before the COVID, really. They used to come out, and there used to be a good crowd there at that time. There'd be over 20, maybe 30 people, but now, if there is 10 or 12, you know, it's mm-hmm. most of them.
A lovely way to catch up with everyone.
Oh, sure, it's lovely.
Yeah.
It is lovely, real. And then we go to Castle Gregory on a Tuesday. That have come up great now. There's about 30 people there now. And we have a lot of entertainment, a bit of dance and exercise and bingo, of course. Oh, I have bingo on camp as well. I didn't win anything today.
There's always next week.
Yeah, there's always another time. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's lovely. Would you go to the Maharees often?
We went there. I was taken there for Mother's Day.
Oh, lovely. How was it?
It was nice. We went out to Splans and we had a nice dinner. Mike, my son and his wife and the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. We went down there and it was nice. Mm-hmm.
And how many great-grandchildren do you have?
I have 6.
Oh, lovely. Mm-hmm. So they keep you company?
Oh, yeah. And they're all around me. Only one. There's one to buy in England.
Oh, lovely.
Mm.
Brilliant.
So it is great.
Mm-hmm. Did I hear you have a very special birthday in April?
I have.
How old will you be?
21. Oh, God help us, yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you any plans for it?
I haven't, but I'm sure there are plenty of plans made. Oh, I'd be well looked after and well treated, all right.
Definitely.
I had my 83rd birthday in Australia.
Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? Completely different from here in Kemp.
It was completely different. The sun is shining and, oh, God, it was lovely. Well, I have a sister, but she's in Perth. But this was... where do they make Home and Away?
Oh, God.
They were even there when we were at the beach.
Wow. And mm-hmm. How long did you go there for?
We only went there for the day, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But Australia itself, how long were you in?
Oh, God, I'd be there. You know, I'd go for a couple of months. If I would travel,
really?
I would. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be worth doing while, you know, the long journey. But I was there 5 or 6 times.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So have you done a lot of travelling over the years?
I was old before I started. So I was, I was a widow at 55. And then, of course, Mike and Bernadette took over. I took flight then.
Wow, so you started travelling around then?
Yes. As I say now, I had my sister was in Australia, and I have stepdaughters in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go to them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I had cousins in New Zealand. I went to New Zealand as well when I'd be there.
That's a place I'd love to visit. What was it like?
Oh, New Zealand is lovely. Mm-hmm. It is very nice. It's more, I suppose it's a bit more like Ireland, you know.
Really?
It is.
In what way?
Well, it is not as borderless, you know, it is greener and nicer.
Mm-hmm.
It is nice. New Zealand was nice. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I had cousins there, and it sure is great when you have people there and you can...
make friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And meet all your cousins. I had an uncle that went to New Zealand, and he never came home.
Oh.
And his family have come home, his son now and his wife. And their children, again, they have come here all right.
Mm-hmm. And you weren't tempted to stay?
Oh, God, no.
You had to come home.
Oh, God, yes. Well, I was, the first time I went, I wasn't used to traveling.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so excited going, you know, how would it be? And then, of course, I was more excited again coming home. I had my grandchildren were very young then, you know. And to see them, you know, how they after 3 months, like, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel the journey coming home either then.
Oh, I loved
it. Yeah, you know.
And were you lonesome when you went over? 3 months at a time, or...?
The only time I was lonesome there, now, I was in New Zealand with my first cousin's wife and her family. I was there for Christmas. And I had a first cousin here, but she was much older than I was. And she died on Christmas Eve.
Oh, no.
We went to Mass on Christmas Eve in our summer dress. And I went into the church, and they had a lovely crib, but not as much as a speck of holly or anything green in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was lonesome that day.
That's when it hit you?
Yes. Well, between the change now in the church and my cousin dying,
mm-hmm.
Well, I said I'd never again be out of home. And I don't think I was since either. Mm-hmm. And that's a long time ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it was different, you know,
mm-hmm.
completely different.
What would you say to someone that would love to go travelling but they don't allow themselves because they feel like it's too late, there's too many people at home they need to look after, or anything like that?
Well, you can make all these excuses if you like, but I don't know, I didn't anyway. When I got the chance, I went. But now, I wouldn't go alone. Mm. I'm not a traveller now to go alone anyway. But there was a woman up the road, and she had a son in Sydney. When I was the first time I went, we went together. But then we parted, you know, because her family was there and my family was there. But we used to meet while we were there. She came home sooner than I did too as well. She didn't stay there 3 months. She was younger than me and had young family like that. But I came home on my own all like that, and I didn't go Australia.
Well, fair play to you. Honestly, you're like Wonder Woman.
Well, I have my health, I suppose, is the main thing, and I have my footing. My legs, my legs are the best part of me. No, as far as walking is concerned, like I'm fairly good now.
Would you go walking often?
Well, if the weather was good, I'd go for a little walk every day. I mightn't go very far. But I try to go every day because just to
keep you moving. Well, Mary, it was absolutely lovely to talk to you. And thank you for telling your stories to us.
I know. I hope there'll be some good to you.
Everything is as wonderful as you were. So thank you, Mary.
You're more than welcome, girl.
And that was the wonderful Mary Fitzgerald of Camp and the Junction Bear speaking to us here on Travels Through a Kingdom. Thank you so much for coming on the programme. And I'd only love to try one of Mary's delicious pies that she was baking over the years. Let us know what you thought. You can get in touch by texting or WhatsApping 083 300 3300. Or you can get in touch by emailing caiflin@radiokerry.ie. Now we have a poem from Slieve Lucra's Kerry, and this was composed by Jimmy Cullinan, and his little CD is called The Hillside Scribbler, and this poem is called I Am Kerry.
I am Kerry. I am Kerry and proud to be steeped in folklore and history. Where else in the world would I want to be? A gra for you and in love with thee. I am Kerry and always will be, with a love for music and poetry, a carefree life and open door, where else in this world could I find more? I am Kerry and proud of you all, Killarney's Three Lakes and the Tark Waterfall, the two Pap Mountains and the City of Shrone, all famous landmarks to the whole world known. I am Kerry with my own Kerry cow, she grazed along acre, the inch and the slough, two pointy white horns and the black skin, providing milk for my family and the neighbours within. I am Kerry, horse love in my blood, how I love to hear the heavy hoof thud, to watch Jack Kennedy, that great jockey by, winning races for Michael O'Leary, who have planes in the sky. I am Kerry with beaches so grand, inch belly high and casement banner strand, Derry Nan Raspe, Vintry to the west, Ballybunion to the north, which I love best. I am Kerry of the green and gold, no football medals do I hold. Listen to the radio by Big Turf Fire, reminiscing about O'Connell and Dwyer. I am Kerry with music and song, entertainment for all to pass winter nights long. Humour and fun from worry relief, Slieve Lucra music composed by Patrick O'Keefe. I am Kerry, blessed island so bleak, your folk isolated after hungry and weak. Strong dashing waves, your sides they do tear, home to Tomás O'Crahan and the famous Pegsaire. I am Kerry with writers galore, songs and story and poetry in store, plays and sketches for all to see, put on the world stage by your own John B. I am Kerry, village island to the south, where hunting and fishing once fed every mouth, playing football for Kerry, O'Connell stood tall, home to Slade Quarry and the world's very first telephone call. I am Kerry with our famous pug fair, where the goat proudly stands 3 days in the year, a gathering, a scattering, a day in between, where else in this world would you find the scene? I am Kerry, the home of the roses, long tan legged in low cut blouses, a middle-aged horse called Doughty O'Shea, his mother Fitzgerald from out Lowntown way. I am Kerry with our own Shanachie, born in Guineagwilla, just outside Killarney. He startled our imagination when we were quite small. He started every story by asking, "How are you all?" I am Kerry, many monuments to be seen to remind us of the troubled times that have been. Men on the run by day and by night. Thank God in the end, we won the fight. I am Kerry with rivers flowing free, with rod and line, water up to my knee. The Fless, the Main, the Carr and Field, the Loan by Killoglan, home to salmon and eel. I am Kerry, the grave rambling houses, men with nailed boots and ladies with blouses, poetry jokes and stories galore, a bonus to see, a brush dancer on the floor. I am Kerry, and my story I've told. I have enjoyed all your treasures, my kingdom of gold. I have trodden you lightly since the day of my birth, when I take my lad breath, plant me safe in your earth.
And that was Jimmy Cullen's poem, I Am Kerry, here on Travels Through a Kingdom. And that's on his CD, The Hillside Scribbler, as well. We'll have more on Travels Through a Kingdom after this break. And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom. Now it's time to revisit the archive of Sean Hurley and his time in the Rambling House in Killarney a number of years ago.
Let's get on to tonight's programme, which comes to us from Killarney. And there we're heading for the men's shed, where we're going to have a special Rambling House tonight, a get-together of some musicians, singers and great talent. Do stay with me. First, we hear from the in-house musicians, which were there on the night. To say hello to Barry Sheridan, the Chief Executive Officer of the Men's Shed. Barry, you're over the whole lot in Ireland, are you?
Yes, I'll be CEO of the Irish Men's Shed Association, which is the national body for all the men's sheds in Ireland.
Are you happy the way they're going presently? Because some of them are going exceptionally well, others are a little weak.
I suppose by the nature of it, we've 305 sheds around the island, which is huge. So we've come an awful long way in a short period of time. Like 4 or 5 years ago, we didn't have any sheds. To think we've grown from zero to 305 sheds in such a short period. You know, we're still learning, we're still growing, we've still got, you know, a lot of steps to take. Some sheds are extremely strong and other sheds need a little bit more support. And that's what we're here for, to do, is give that level of support and guidance that they need to make themselves stronger as they move forward. So that's the big objective.
I've met a good number of the people involved in the Kerry sheds, yes. You know, and a lot of them are going exceptionally well. And that's why I posed the question to you about the weaker ones, if there is something you could do for them.
Absolutely. And that's what we're here for, you know. Like, our main objective and everything we do is about the sheds on the ground. So what we're trying to do is kind of make sure that each shed around Ireland is strong and sustainable. So it's up to us to talk to them, speak with them and provide the supports they need to make them stronger. So what we want to have is every shed to be strong and to be have a sustainable model that they'll be here in 3 or 4 years' time, you know, benefiting the men, benefiting the communities and benefiting the families of the men as well.
Well, you're in one of the stronger ones, may I say, tonight,
I am,
as
yes,
you know yourself.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be here. It's always great to be down here, you know. It's an example of what can be achieved, you know. You know, you get the drive and the energy that comes from the men within the shed to make it work. And that's really, really important. It's all about the men, and it's the men behind the shed that makes a men's shed so successful.
Mm-hmm. Now we have a couple of them here tonight.
Yeah. I'm delighted to be here, you know. These guys have been involved for a few years here now and have put in a serious amount of time and effort to make the shed what it is today. And you see, for example, here what's going on in the background here tonight. It's testament to them and it's testament to the rest of the guys within the shed to make things like this happen for everyone in the community.
The chairman is over there listening attentively to you, Mr. John Quill. We'll have to say hello to him as well. John, how are you?
Sean, very good. Thank you very much. And thank you for coming along this evening to us.
Pleasure always to be here. A wonderful night we had the last time we were here, and tonight is no exception. I know there's plenty of music in there. And also, Mick Myers is with us as well. Mick, you're the man that organised the Rambling House?
That's right, Sean. I organised a few of the Rambling Houses here, like in the area. areas we like, so it's easy enough, right, because we have all the talent in the area, so there's no shortage of talent, Sean, you know, so it's brilliant.
Getting back to the men's shed briefly, John, you have no problem in attracting the men in here?
No, indeed, Sean. I suppose the location is good, number one, and secondly then, as you know, people meet their friends and they tell them about it, and that brings a couple more along with them, and they add on, so it's kind of tripping along from one to another all the time, you know. So
how about a project now, anything special you're working on
at the moment? Now there are a couple of orders for kennels, there's a couple of birdhouses, there's some man looking for birdhouses for, I think, something to do with glass. Somebody's looking for something to hold her gas bottles, and they come up with all these ideas. The guys come up with the ideas, they make them up, and so far everybody seems to be happy.
Barry, you're well pleased with that?
Oh, delighted with it, you know, and it never ceases to amaze me, the level of innovation and kind of enterprise that a group of men can come up with, and the type of projects they can come up with. I suppose that's what a men's shed is all about. It's about the men coming up with ideas themselves, you know, and there's something in it for everyone. Even if you're not great with your hands, or you think you mightn't be great with your hands, you've got a skill or you've got something to offer to a men's shed, and we encourage it to all men out there, no matter what the background is, whatever skill level they have, there's something in a men's shed for everyone. We'd encourage everyone to call along.
Barry Sheridan, thank you. Lovely meeting you.
You're welcome. Nice
and
to meet you.
Welcome
nice
to Kerry. On. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll enjoy it.
And John Quill, likewise. A pleasure being here. And Mick Myers is going to take me in now to see what talent we have tonight. Isn't that right, Mick?
That's right, Sean. We have some massive talent in tonight.
Good to meet you. I'd like to welcome to the programme Paddy Casey of the South Kerry Partnership. Paddy, I see you behind here at the moment, behind a keyboard. Are you vamping away, playing away, or what are you doing there?
No, there was no other seat available, Sean, so I said, don't hear from myself.
Was that it?
That was it.
I thought I heard the keyboard going. There must be the other men there down at the end. Anyway, how are things going? They said there at the start that you helped them out.
That's right. I work with South Kerry Development Partnership, and we run the TOOS programme and the Rural Social Scheme programme throughout South Kerry and Carstavine, Killaughlin, Kinmare and Killarney. I work as a supervisor here in Killarney with Lisa Murphy and Jordan Moynihan, and we have supplied participants to help out in the min shed here and the setting up of it, and there are two people working here on a weekly basis on the general maintenance of the min shed.
The general thing around here, I believe that it's working extremely well.
It's a fantastic success, yeah, and it's great to come in here in the morning and see all the men coming in doing their own little duties, and I think it's the social aspect of it more than the work they come in to do. You know, they have a great relationship in here, and Mike and the boys have and John have a great job done here as well, and there's a great atmosphere inside here, which is great.
And what do you put that down to?
I think that everyone is made feel welcome and everyone is equal, you know. There's no boss in here. I think Mike Myers is always saying that, there's no boss in here. And I think that's the main thing, that everyone feels welcome and they look forward to coming back again.
And that was the archive of Sean Hurley's Kerry White here on Travels Through a Kingdom. That's almost it for this evening's programme. I want to say a huge thank you to Mary Fitzgerald for coming on the show and for sharing her wonderful stories with us here. I want to say thank you to all who got in touch with us on the programme as well. And as usual, if you want to get in touch at any point, you can email me kflynn@radiokerry.ie if you'd like to feature on the show or have any stories yourself. Or if email doesn't suit you, you can pop us a letter as well by just putting the address to Kaya Flynn, Radio Kerry, Main Street 3 as well. I'd only love to hear from you. You can catch up on any of our programmes on radiokerry.ie. Just search Travels Through a Kingdom, and you can do so on Spotify as well. But stay with us here on Radio Kerry, as Elaine is on the way with 7 days. And then Sean Riley is on from 8 with Irish Favourites. So until next Sunday, I'll talk to you at the same time. Take care of yourself. Goodbye.